that is drawn through the ages. On that line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross, the forces of evil, all the demons, all the devils of hell. But on the other, the angels of glory, have they been
to today's broadcast of It Is Finished with your host, Evangelist Kale Rich. Thanks for tuning in today. Today is Monday, September the 14th of 2015. I pray that you're having a blessed week so far and that the remainder of your week continues to be blessed as well. Before we begin today's broadcast, I would like to invite you to visit me on my website at www.klerichministries.com. Again, that's www.klerichministries.com. On my website, you can view or listen to previous ministry broadcasts by clicking on the broadcast tab, as well as get books for your entire family. And if you would like to donate to the cause of this ministry, you could do so on the website as well, and it will take you straight to PayPal. Again, that's www.klerichministries.com. As a reminder, we are on every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 7 p.m. At 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. And also, we're on Sundays for just an hour of power at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Central. All right, we have a ton of headlines, but as always, before we begin today's headlines, I would like to remind you to please keep our fellow brothers and sisters lifted up in prayer. We always want to remember them in prayer, those who are in Iranian prison, those that are constantly being abused, children, women, raped, and different ones that are being persecuted for the sake of Christ and other other countries by terrorist organizations such as ISIS, Boko Haram, and different one, Al-Qaeda, different one. And then we also want to pray for those who are being persecuted even here in the United States. Kim Davis, this is her first day back to work, and supposedly everyone's trying to see if she's going to stop her office from issuing out the certificates. But I believe what she's doing is she's not going to stop them. She's just not going to have her name on it or whatever. So that's what was in an article. She didn't want to be affiliated with it at all. So we want to just keep her lifted up in prayer. And the other ones who are being persecuted, you have judges who are refusing to marry same-sex couples. You have bakers who are refusing to bake cakes for same-sex couples, and so it's just all around the nation, and it's going to intensify. There's a persecution on Christians, and it is it's going to increase as the time goes on. And so we want to just keep each other lifted up. Friday we had a prayer broadcast, and we were praying for those that are lost in this nation, and we were praying for our fellow brothers and sisters who are being persecuted around the world, including the U.S. And then we were praying for ourselves to stay encouraged, because it's only going to be through the encouragement of others that's going to keep us strong in the Lord, and we're supposed to carry each other's burdens, and we're our brother's keeper, and so we got to keep each other lifted up. And that means that you don't have time to be allowing the devil to put thoughts and things into your mind, even through, whether it's through media, whether it's through people, whether it's through whatever. You have to ward off the devil before he begins. So when that enemy comes to attack you, then you have the word of God to stand on, and the promises of God, and the Bible is our weapon, and prayer is our best weapon against the enemy. And so Friday was a prayer broadcast, and we pray for each other, and we had other apostles and watchmen and pastors on the line. And so therefore we just want to just keep each other lifted up. And every so often I'm going to have that where I invite other watchmen and pastors on the broadcast so that we can pray for each other, keep each other lifted up in Christ, and pray for you. And there will be times that I will try to have a live call-in where if you need prayer, then we are on call where we will pray for you on the broadcast. So we're going to just keep that in mind. And again, I pray that all of you are just, your week is turning out pretty well, and because there's, you know, there's so much that's taking place, and so despite the things that are taking place, we want to also see the beauty that God has created in the world. But there are a lot of things that are taking place, and so we need to have our hearts and minds prepared, and also spread the gospel to others, because people need Jesus. This is a lost world, and the majority of the people in the world are going to be lost, and that's even within the body of Christ. The majority within the body of Christ is going to be lost if they don't turn back from their wicked ways and straddling the fence. And so we need to just be prayerful and make sure that we have our hearts, our minds, our souls together in the Lord. All right. Before we begin today's broadcast, you know, I want to just play a song and just play some worship music. And because, you know, we there's so much that we're dealing with and having to deal with, and sometimes you just need we always should be spiritual minded, and so that's why it's so important for us to guard our eye gates, our ear gates, and the things that we allow to enter our spirit, because there's so much that is taking place that we're going to need the weapon of God, the word, and we're going to need prayer in order to help us to get through. So I just, you know, want to just start off with a worship song for us to be able to listen to. Thank you. go into our headlines, and I just want to play just a little bit of worship music before we get into the headlines. Sometimes you just need to just meditate with all the things that are going on in the world, and have that uplifting meditation music to let you know that God is still in control. Okay, when the Pope is now entering mosque and praying towards Mecca, it is official that the world has lost its mind. And I will agree. Pope Francis entered the Blue Mosque in Istanbul, Turkey, where he took off his shoes and bowed down toward Mecca and made his prayer. As he stood next to Istanbul's Grand Mufti, Rami Yaran, the video shows where he went inside. It goes on to say, Francis took off his shoes as he entered the huge mosque before bowing his head in prayer for several minutes, facing Mecca and standing next to the Grand Mufti, Rami Yaran, in what a Vatican spokesperson described as a joint moment of silent adoration of God. What is amazing is that this happened in Turkey's capital, Istanbul. How did this city become Muslim? It was conquered by who? By Muslims. The Hagia Sophia, the Holy Church of Christendom and the Eastern Orthodox Church, was violently sieged in 1453 by the Ottoman Empire, whose soldiers stripped it of all its holy icons and its crosses, and Sultan Mehmed II had an imam make the very same prayer to which the Pope Francis prayed to. What a shame. I do not understand how the Pope could be acting like this when his predecessors in the Middle Ages and in the wonderful Renaissance era fought with Islam in much harsher times than now. Pope Gregory VII, ignited by his mourning for the persecuted Christians of the Eastern Church, felt himself behooved to begin a crusade against the Muslim powers and to finally extinguish this principality of Satan, which has tormented the saints. In 1074, he wrote, "We hereby inform you that the bearer of this letter, on his recent return from across the sea from Palestine, came to Rome to visit us. He repeated that we have heard from many others that a pagan race had overcome the Christians with horrible cruelty, had devastated everything almost to the walls of the Constantinople, and now governing the conquered lands with tyrannical violence, and they had slain many thousands of Christians as if they were but sheep. If we love God and wish to be recognized as Christians, we should be filled with grief at the misfortune of this great empire, the Greek, and the murder of so many Christians. But simply to grieve is not our only duty. The example of our Redeemer and the bond of fraternal love demand that we should lay down our lives to liberate them, because he has laid down his life, and we ought to lay down ours for the brethren." 1 John 3:16. "Know therefore that we are trusting in the mercy of God and in the power of his might, that we are striving in all possible ways and making preparations to render aid to the Christian empire, the Greek, as quickly as possible. Therefore we beseech you, by faith in which you are united through Christ in the adoption of the sons of God, and by the authority of Saint Peter, Prince of the Apostles, we admonish you that you be moved to proper compassion for the wounds and blood of your brethren and the danger of bearing aid to your brethren, the Greeks." Okay, so what is it saying here? Pope Francis is in Turkey, and it was in Turkey, and he did a prayer, took off his shoes and bowed toward Mecca. And praying, then that's the prayer that the Muslims, they pray towards Mecca. Okay, but it's saying here that that during the Renaissance age, the Pope, what's his name? I'm going back to it. Let me see here. Pope Gregory VII, He was in mourning because the same thing that Islam is doing today, the Muslims were doing back in those times during the Renaissance era, and they had to fight. They were killing their Christian brothers and sisters, and so therefore Pope Gregory the VII, he said, hey, we got to pick up arms and help our brothers and sisters. It's not just good enough to pray. We have to actually go and help them. And so, because the Muslims were slaughtering Christians during that time. So we have the same thing going on now. So what this article is saying, they don't understand how Pope Francis, knowing the history of what Islam does, it can go into a mosque, take off his shoes, and begin to pray. I know what the answer is. Because he's a false prophet. It's because he... There was a prophecy from one of their own, Malachi. And in some of the reports from Malachi, he had a vision of, I believe, 112 popes. And I believe this one is, if I'm correct, the 112th one. It whatever the number was, this is the pope that was said to be the one that was going to be basically a tyrant of the Catholic Church. He was going to introduce falsehood to the Catholic Church. And so this pope is exactly living that out according to their own religion. All right, we're going to go into 10 mind-blowing facts about CERN, the large colander that you did not know. So what is CERN? A CERN is this machine that was built years ago that it says that in September it will smash together subatomic particles at nearly the speed of light, an unprecedented experiment that has some of the leading voices in the world of science and religion sounding the alarm on the risk involved. So this machine is basically to recreate the Big Bang. They want to know, how did God do it? And the thing that's dangerous about it is because they don't know what's going to happen. They say it could actually destroy the Earth. Well, why would you do that if it had the possibility to destroy the Earth? See, this is basically demonic science. Okay, let's move on. It says CERN is perhaps most famous for its discovery in 2012 of the elusive Higgs boson, named after the British physicist Peter Higgs, who predicted its existence in 1964. The so-called God particle, which allows other particles to build up mass as they pass through the Higgs field. Today, however, CERN is more famous, or perhaps infamous is the better word, for an upcoming experiment in which scientists will play God in an effort to recreate the conditions immediately following the Big Bang event that gave birth to the universe millions of years ago. For those who are in the dark about CERN, the controversial objectives it hopes to achieve, here is a quick primer. Okay, number 10. CERN is the world's biggest machine. Straddling the French Swiss border, the 9 billion CERN collider complex is buried at a depth of up to 575 feet. The tunnel complex runs about 17-mile circuit. Scientists involved in the project say the laboratory was built underground because the Earth's crust provides protection against radiation. They also say it was buried out of respect for the natural landscape, which sounds slightly ironic considering the massive damage the colander could possibly cause down the road. So this is a 500, it's buried 575 feet underneath the Earth's surface, and then it's also about 17 miles long, so it's between the French and the Swiss border. Okay, so it says the CERN collider is composed of some 9,600 super magnets, which are 100,000 times more powerful than the gravitational pull of Earth, that fire protons around a circular track at mind-boggling speeds. Okay, so this is a very, very powerful machine that they have built that they're getting ready to get going. Number 8, CERN generates extreme temperatures. There may be another reason for the CERN super collider being buried hundreds of feet underground. The unbelievable hot temperatures it can reach. How hot, you ask? Well, as about as hot as the universe after the Big Bang, or more than 100,000 times the temperature at the center of the sun. So this is hotter than they're saying the center of the sun. This will be achieved, CERN says, by accelerating and colliding together two beams of heavy ions, an epic scientific event that will take place this month. Number 7, but Stephen Hawking is worried. Although it may require some mental gymnastics to wrap one's brain around exactly what the CERN scientists are attempting to achieve in their underground lab, the average layman may instinctively understand that such an experiment may be wrought with unforeseeable pitfalls. Steve Hawking, the eminent physicist, seems to agree. The God particle found by CERN could destroy the universe. And this is serious here. They're saying that this machine can destroy the universe. Now, we know that's not going to happen, that God's not going to allow it to happen. But the thing is that, you know, these people don't care what they're doing. Hawking wrote in the preface of the book, Stormist, a collection of lectures by scientists. The Higgs boson could possibly unstable a very high energy level and have the potential to trigger a catastrophic vacuum decay, which would cause space and time to collapse. We would not have any warning to the dangers, he continued. Okay, so anytime that you have scientists that are going this far to not even care about the dangers that they are putting the supposedly the planet in, you have to ask yourself, who's really behind this? It seems a little more demonic than anything. Number 6, opening the door to other dimensions. 1 year after CERN's grand opening, Sergio Bertolucci, former director of research and scientific computing of the facility, grabbed headlines when he told a British tabloid the super collider could open up otherworldly doors to another dimension for a tiny time lapse, mere fractions of a second, perhaps just enough time to peer into this open door, either by getting something out or it's sending something in. Okay, so basically they're saying that this could open the door to another dimension. What is that dimension? What's going to come through? And they're saying it's just a few seconds. What is going to come through? Anything that comes through is not of God. Anything that comes through is, you can guarantee that it is demonic. Of course, added Bertolucci, after this tiny moment, the door will again shut, bringing us back to our normal four-dimensional world. It would be a major leap in our vision of nature, and of course, there would be no risk to the stability of our world. Naturally, this comment has triggered fears that CERN collider could unwittingly invite unwanted visitors from other time-space dimensions. Anybody for dinosaurs strolling along the champs, Elise? Okay, so basically what they're saying is it could invite something unnatural to come through. Number 5, CERN's curious choice of geographic location. Now, on the top of all speculation as to what CERN scientists are really attempting to do with this large Hadron Collider, many observers could not help but notice that the town in France where CERN is partially situated is called Saint-Genis. The name Pauli comes from the Latin Apollicum, and it is believed that in Roman times, a temple existed in honor of Apollo. And the people who lived there will believe that it is a gateway to the underworld. It is interesting to note that CERN is built on the same spot. Religious leaders, always suspicious of the aims of the scientific world, drew a connection to the verse straight out of Revelation 9, verses 1 through 2 and 11, which makes reference to the name Apollyon. The verse states, "To him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and they had a kind over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." So that's very interesting that this Apollyon in the Bible is given the key to the bottomless pit. And as we know, when the bottomless pit is open, you're going to have all kind of demonic forces that come out of it. Tapping into dark matter, number 4. Astonishing astrophysical observations have demonstrated that all visible physical matter accounts for only 4% of the universe. Now that the race is on at CERN to find those elusive particles or phenomena responsible for the dark matter, 23%, and dark energy, 73%. Essentially, what the CERN experiment hopes to achieve is to separate, by way of the atom smasher, the invisible dark matter, which has been described as the very glue that holds together, from the visible. There's just one problem with this experiment. Nobody has any idea what the consequence will be if that goal is achieved. So once again, this dark versus visible paradigm has generated a battle that transcends the scientific world, becoming a question involving philosophy and spirituality. Number 3, CERN logo. I will leave it up to the imagination of the reader to determine if the public relations team at CERN opened up the door to massive conjecture, not to mention a huge amount of conspiracy theory, by opting for a particular logo design, what they did. Okay, as we know, they have the 3 sixes that's around the CERN, and they also have this goddess deity that's in the front of it, which we're going to go into, the deity of destruction as a corporate mascot. Now, why would they have a deity of destruction as their mascot? It lets you know it's demonic. Although most corporations shun any connection with religion and the spiritual world, CERN has chosen as its mascot a Hindu goddess, but not just any Hindu goddess. Just outside of its headquarters building sits an ancient statue to Shiva, ancient Apollyon, the goddess of destruction. That's very strange. And number 1, no democratic debate. CERN is presently wrapping up the largest atom collider in the world. It takes months for the magnets to get the particles to reach near light speed. In preparation for their next atomic collision, which is scheduled to take place this month, with barely a mention in the media of the risks involved. Since some critics say this scientific experiment poses greater risk than even the test prior to the introduction of the atomic bomb, it would stand to reason that there should be much more discussion on this dark matter. Samely, and not a little ironically, CERN, which essentially governs itself as its own fiefdom, is operating just as invisibly as the particles they are attempting to study. However, CERN has been a trailblazer on a number of other highly credible projects which may tempt people to give them the benefit of the doubt regarding CERN, which certainly ranks as one of the most comprehensive and expensive scientific experiments in history. All right, so basically what this is saying right here is that it's so secretive. There should be more talk about this because of the danger. They're saying that this is even more dangerous than when they were building the atomic bomb. Okay, so the devil, he likes to do things in secret. That's why this is being done, because it's not anything of God. It's of the devil. And anything that's of the devil, you have to think twice about what is he actually trying to do. Okay, we're going to go on. Iran's President Rouhani sends message for Jewish New Year. Iran's President Hassan Rouhani sends greetings to the Jewish people on the occasion of Rosh Hashanah. Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Early Monday morning, Rouhana's Twitter account posted this message: "May I share Abrahamic roots, deepen respect, and bring peace and mutual understanding, Lashon Tova." Okay, so this Iranian president sending warm greetings to the Jewish people for their New Year, and he even mentions that they shared Abraham roots. Okay, so Abraham, these people are the descendants of Ishmael, and the Jews the descendants of Isaac. But in their minds, Ishmael was the promise, not Isaac. Okay, but Isaac was the promise because he was the promise that was given to Abraham and Sarah, and they were, so he was a result of that promise. And God let him know, Abraham know, that Isaac was the promise. And even though he blessed Ishmael, Ishmael was not the promise. Isaac was the promise. However, you know, they believe that they're the chosen ones, and the devil always wants to twist things. And so this is why we have the situation we have today. And also it's because Abraham and Sarah did not wait on God. They went ahead and took matters into their own hands. And so therefore you got the two descendants of these two brothers who are still fighting even centuries later. 95,000 Russian troops in massive military drill. Russia on Monday launches largest military exercises of the year, Central 2015, involving some 95,000 soldiers, including ground troops, Navy, and Air Force units. The long-announced war games are the most large-scale drill of 2015, the Defense Ministry said. Russia has recently intensified snap checks of its military might, testing its capabilities from the Arctic to the Far East, as relations with the West have plunged to a post-Cold War low over the Ukraine crisis. Center 2015 takes place at 20 sites across Russia's central military district, which reaches from the Volga River to the Ural Mountains and Siberia in the west, while also including far northern Russia. Okay, so Russia has 95,000 troops that they are preparing for battle, that they're doing drills and getting them ready for things to come. Russians bulk M2 surface-to-air missile systems in the victory parade at Red Square in Moscow. Okay, so basically what this article is saying is Russia is preparing for war. They're getting things ready. No one knows exactly when it's going to happen, but we do know. That there is going to be an invading force in the United States. And Russia and China, many people have prophesied that God had given them this vision that Russia and China were going to invade the U.S. when they're at their weakest. And we're not too far from that taking place. And so we just, again, always need to stay prayerful and close to God. This next article, Russia flights over Iraq and Iran escalate tension with the U.S. Russia is using an air corridor over Iraq and Iran to fly military equipment and personnel to a new air hub in Syria. Openly define American efforts to block the shipments and significantly increasing tensions with Washington. Okay, so Russia, the U.S. has been trying to block Russia from being able to get airplanes and fly through airspace. And as we know, they've been denied in a couple of countries where they couldn't use their airspace for us, you know, helping Syria. So the United States is trying to overthrow the Syrian government. Russia is trying to keep the Syrian government. So you have these two countries clashing against each other. And so who is going to be the final winner? Well, the thing is that the U.S. is in major trouble spiritually. And therefore, we cannot expect God to bless the U.S. in any wars or any battles because, again, they have turned their backs to God. And so this is why the U.S. is in the trouble that it is in at this time. All right, moving on. Russia foils U.S.-backed hackers attempting to meddle in elections. The website of the Russian Central Election Commission has reportedly been attacked by American hackers. A group of U.S. hackers launched an unsuccessful cyber attack on the website of the Russian Central Election Commission ahead of the country's local elections, media report says. The attack is thought to have been staged by a company based in the city of San Francisco. It took place on Saturday at about 23:23, or should you say 11:23 Moscow time, according to the Central Election Commission head Vladimir Shirov. Someone tried to hack our website and change the content of its data with an intensity of 50,000 requests per minute. He added that the hacking attack had successfully been repulsed and that the Central Election Commission had filed a request with the U.S. authorities to find and punish the criminals. He also heaped praise on the brilliant organization of the election, something that Shirov said could hardly have been archived by Americans. Okay, so let's see. Okay, is America trying to hack into a Russian system? Is this government? You know, they're saying that this was done in San Francisco, but is this actually the government that was trying to hack into the Russian computer system to change the outcome of elections? Now, as we know, Obama sent a team of his people to do that to Netanyahu, to overturn Netanyahu. Okay, but God didn't allow it to happen, so it backfired on Obama. Okay, so are they doing a cyber war with Russia now, where they're trying to hack into their computers and change elections and data and things like this? So it seems like there's a cyber war going on between the U.S. and China, between the U.S. and Russia. What is actually going on here? These are signs of the time, end of the age. See, there's wars that's taking place way before there's boots on the ground, way before there's missiles in the air. And as we know, America is going to be destroyed in an hour. Revelation chapter 18, aka Babylon, will be destroyed in an hour. So that prophecy is going to come to pass, and America will be no more a powerful nation. And she's already declining as of now. EU ministers approve military action on the Mediterranean. EU leaders are still at a larger heads over asylum seeker quotas, but agreed on the need for a tougher response to the refugee crisis. Conditions have been met, according to a European diplomat, for EU member states to use military force against people smugglers, boats on the Mediterranean Sea. Phase one of the military plan to gather intelligence began in July 1st. According to the AFP, Associated Press, phase two of the military action has been approved, of which would include seizing and destroying vessels used to transport people out of Libya and onto Europe, but only on international waters. Okay, so basically the EU is going to use military action to control this refugee crisis that's taking place. But see, this was planned. This was really, really planned already. Okay, Netanyahu says he will immediately negotiate with Palestinians. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu surprised many observers during his trip to London when he announced that he will be willing to have immediate peace talks with Palestinian leader Mohammed I'm sorry, Mahmoud Abbas. I want to say here in 10 Downing Street and reaffirm that I am ready to resume direct negotiations with the Palestinians with no conditions whatsoever to enter negotiations, and I'm willing to do so immediately. Is this getting ready to have a peace deal, a peace treaty that's going to be broken? As we know, it's not going to last. It's going to be broken. Is this getting ready to introduce something that's, again, Bible prophecy? Is Israel going to be split during this time? See, there's been a lot of pressure for Israel to go back to its his prehistoric borders, so basically dividing the land, okay? But we know what God said, you know, once his land is divided, then he will divide ours as well. Okay, and there are some things that I'm going to go over, because there's a lot that's going to be taking place in this country, in this land, in this nation, and we need to be prepared. And so many people take it for granted that you can go to the grocery stores, that you got lights, that you got, you know, all these things. But the thing is that how long is that going to last? And are you ready should something drastic take place? You need to be prepared. And so we're going to go over, there was a Dave Hodges article that I'm going to read, 14 things you must do to survive the coming economic collapse. There are things that's going to be taking place, and even though we're not certain as to what dates these are going to take place, we do know that it is going to happen, and it's in God's time when he allows it to happen, and things seem to be escalating at a very fast pace, and we just want to be ready.
Yeah.
And we're going to go over some survival tips for those who want to know what to do in the event of an economic collapse, because there's a lot of information that we need to basically be prepared for, and if there was an economic collapse of any kind, because if there was an economic collapse, things would not be as normal. And people, when you're talking about they can't have access to their money in the bank, can't have access to government assistance, Social Security, Medicare, things like that, things will get crazy very fast. And so, you know, so many people feel like, oh, well, you know, we don't have to worry about anything. There's a lot you need to be prepared for. I didn't say worry. I said be prepared for. Okay, so this is from the Common Sense Show. 14 things you must do to survive the coming economic collapse. And for those, it is coming. Okay, so basically it's asking, are you prepared for 3 out of 4 of your neighbors climbing through your windows in search of life-saving supplies? Are you ready for that? People are going to get crazy. People are going to be breaking into houses, breaking into cars. People are going to be looking for things, for food. Your animals will not even be safe, because when people get desperate, they will kill animals. I'm talking about your cats, your dogs, and kill them and eat them, okay? If you saw the Book of Eli with Denzel Washington in the beginning of the movie, he killed the cat and ate it. You know, it was no food. Ate the cat. People will get desperate. So you can't say what people want to do. If you ever seen the movie The Purge, I suggest you rent it. It's called The Purge. And The Purge in this movie was they had 12 hours of unlawlessness. That means they can kill anybody they wanted to for 12 hours. And when you look at it, it's not just about the killing. It's about the what you have to do to defend yourself in order to stay alive, okay? And so these days, people would think, oh, that would never happen. Yes, it will happen, and it is going to happen. Okay, so it says, and FEMA, one of the things, hold on, let me just go back here. FEMA preparation reports says that in response to concerns about strengthening the nation's ability to protect its population and way of life and ability to adapt and recover from emergencies, the President of the United States issued Presidential Policy Directive 8, National Preparedness. Now, we just need to pay attention, no matter who it's from, but just pay attention to what they're saying here. The PPD 8 is a directive for the Department of Homeland Security to coordinate a comprehensive campaign to encourage Americans to practice national preparedness. Despite efforts by FEMA and other organizations to educate American citizens on becoming prepared, growth in specific preparedness behavior has been limited. Government programs to this end are nearly non-existent. Okay, so this is what needs to happen so that you can be prepared to survive the worst case scenario should you not get any help from anyone. Number one, the creation of a pseudo-identity. It may be necessary to become invisible in the event you think that you believe your name could be on the red list. Perhaps roundups will usually occur in dire time. Therefore, the creation of a pseudo-identity could become very important. Okay, that means that you might be one of those outspoken people that they might consider a dissident, such as myself, for instance. Okay, I'm probably will be on the red list because of speaking out. So that means you don't want to go by your real name, okay? You want to go by some other alias. So that's what it means by pseudo identity, okay? Next, it takes money to prepare. If you have read the articles or listened to news, you should have concluded that it is the height of stupidity to leave your life savings in an institution that is planning to steal from you. You need to divert your cash, other than the ability to pay basic bills, in preparation for what is coming. Become an art form. Getting your money out the bank has become an art form, and you need to be careful. There is a barrier to your ability to procure some of these life-saving and life-extending supplies. Right now, you do not have full access to your money. As you move to withdraw money from withdraw the bulk of your money, there are three federal banking laws that you should be cognizant of, namely cash transaction report, a suspicious activity report, it's called ISAR, and structuring. Okay, what is it saying? This is saying that the banks have a report. If someone does any type of large transaction, I'm talking about withdrawing your own money, they're to report it. You can alert they can alert the FBI because you're withdrawing your own money. Okay, it says federal law requires that the bank file a report based upon any withdrawal and or deposit of $10,000 or more on any single given day. The law was designed to put a damper on money laundering, sophisticated counterfeiting, and other federal crimes. To remain in compliance with the law, financial institutions must obtain personal identification information about the transaction and the social security number of the person conducting the transaction. Before proceeding with the planned withdrawal of your money, I would strongly suggest that you read the federal guidelines as relates to the CTR as produced by the Federal Crimes Enforcement Network. All the federal regulations continued in this article are elucidated in the series of reports. Okay, so it says that there will undoubtedly be some geniuses with math probability will tell you that all they have to do is withdraw $9,999.99, and that banking is protected, the federal government will be none the wiser. It is not quite that simple. The bank is required to file a suspicious activity report, which serves to notify the federal government of an individual attempt to structure deposits or withdrawals by circumventing the $10,000 reporting requirement. Structuring transactions to prevent the CTR from being reported can result in imprisonment for not more than 5 years or a fine up to $250,000. If structuring involves more than $100,000 in a 12-month period or is performed while violating another law of the federal government, the penalty is double. Okay, so what this is saying is, they're supposed to report $10,000, but if you go in and withdraw $9,999.99 to keep them from reporting it, you could still get in trouble. And this is your own money. They're also saying that if you withdraw more than $100,000 in a 12-month period, do not have the right to withdraw as much money as you think you should be able to withdraw of your own money. That means you got to be careful with deposits and you got to be careful with withdrawals. All of it gets reported to the feds, okay? So it says, much like the enforcement of our tax laws, the federal government's enforcement of its banking laws as it relates to CTR, SARS, and subsequent structuring is quite draconian. Civilian asset forfeiture laws come into play. The government can seize your bank account while it determines if a crime has been committed. The government can literally seize your assets in perpetuity without a court order. Of course, you could try and sue, but you would be up against the deep pockets of the federal government, and the case could take years. By the time your case is decided, the financial crisis that you are so desperately trying to avoid by withdrawing your money could be over. Okay, so proceed with caution. All right, so withdrawing your money from the bank. The best way to avoid getting your money caught in the bank in the midst of a bank run will be not to let the lion's share of your money ever cross the bank. The simplest way to accomplish this is to prevent any form of deposit from going automatically into your account as much as possible. Second, you need to begin to pay cash for everything. Let's say that every 30 days, Bob cashes his check at the bank from his work, worth $5,000 net pay. Bob leaves just enough in the bank to be able to conduct normal banking business. Bob walks out of the bank every month with the majority of the cash from his check. Bob should begin to pay cash for as much as he can, such as eating out, paying the electric bill, pay the bill in person, buying groceries, etc. When it becomes necessary to make a big ticket purchase, Bob could temporarily leave more in the bank to cover the writing of a check. You would also be wise to open multiple bank accounts, ranging from the big five mega banks to your local credit unions. You could withdraw much smaller amounts until the sum total of your accounts is greatly diminished and is in your possession. To open the account, simply write a personal check from your home bank. Of course, in these cases, the bank could hold the check for 15 to 30 days. I cannot promise you that if you become the target of federal investigators that you would not have your every financial move scrutinized, and the feds will eventually discover the aggregate patterns of withdrawal. People who I've interviewed told me that they believe that the federal government is in the process of getting the banking computers to talk to each other in a way that would reveal structuring, but the technology is not yet online. Okay, now it goes on to say, if you ever become a target of a federal investigator, do not under any circumstances allow yourself to be interviewed by federal officials without an attorney present. In many cases, people go to jail and pay huge fines not because they have committed a federal crime, but because the federal officials state that they have lied or misled them. And if you do not have an attorney present, it is your word versus the federal government, and you never want that to happen. Okay, and when I'm gonna go over some of this tomorrow. I'm gonna break this up into two parts, but I'm gonna go to I'm gonna do five of these, okay? Because this is very important, and you very much need to know what your rights are and what you need to do. Okay, so again, do not try to make any major withdrawals that could constitute you being federally investigated. 401ks, IRE, and all. If you were 100% convinced of an imminent crash, you would be foolish not to take your money out. However, the prepayment penalty is of 50% is steep. If you withdraw your funds before you were 59.5 years old, if you are retiring soon, take the lump sum option and convert all of these retirement monies to survival supplies and gold, which you will need as the world emerges from the crash. The moral of the story is to become as liquid as possible from a cash perspective. Getting access to your money is the only first part of being prepared to survive an economic crash. Next, you need to make a list. Buy a good prepper bag. Holly Deo is an excellent source for this information. In the interim, procure your food, water, guns, ammo, and home security adjustments. If you do not have a big dog, consider obtaining a pair. These animals will be your companion, home security system, and ally if someone attempts to breach your home with bad intent. Of course, you will have to store dog food as well. Sit down and construct a list of what you would need after reading a good prepper book. Make all of your purchases in cash. You do not want to let the wrong person know what you are up to. Number four, we have to rural versus urban. We have to live our lives for today, and it may not be possible to move to a rural area because of your job. However, one survivalist that I was speaking to with estimates that the rate of survival for a country in economic chaos will be 10 times higher for rural residents as opposed to urban residents. Consider buying a place in an isolated area and commuting to work on the interim. Number five, pay off your mortgage and car loans. If you have a CD, a 401k, or any other long-term investment, you might want to consider taking the penalty and executing a withdrawal and apply what's left of the principal, usually about 50% of the original value, and paying down your major debts. After an economic collapse, you most likely will not have a job, and your retirement and savings will likely be wiped out and confiscated. That is why it will be wise to pay down your debt while you can afford to do so. Because after the collapse, there will still be foreclosures and repossessions. And if you and your family survive, you could be on the street if you cannot pay your bills. Okay, and I'm going to go over the rest of this tomorrow because we're going to go to the Word of God. And it's a lot of information. And so please, if you're listening to it, go back over it because these are important. This is important information to know. It's also one thing I want to mention. It says buy gold and silver while you can afford. Goldman Sachs has been shorting gold. The elite have been hoarding gold, as have the BRICS. These entities are telling you something by action what the medium of exchange is going to be of value following the collapse that is coming. Storing gold and silver is an economic survival strategy which will pay dividends after the smoke begins to clear in the post-collapse era. So make sure that you get yourself some gold, silver, precious metals so that you will be able to buy, trade, barter, or whatever you need to get during the time before and after economic collapse. Okay, we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 4. And it's talking about the visions of sin and judgment, because there's things that's taking place that's letting us know that judgment is here upon us. We're heading toward a major storm, and we want to be prepared for the things that are going to be taking place. And it says, and now, son of man, take a large clay brick and set it down in front of you. Then draw a map of the city of Jerusalem on it. Show the city under siege. Build a wall around it so no one can escape. Set up the enemy camp and surround the city with siege ramps and battering rams. Then take an iron griddle and place it between you and the city. Turn toward the city and demonstrate how harsh the siege will be against Jerusalem. This will be a warning to the people of Israel. Now lie on your left side and place the sins of Israel on yourself. You are to bear their sins for the number of the days you lie there on your side. I am requiring you to bear Israel's sins for 390 days, one day for each year of their sin. After that, turn over and lie on your right side for 40 days, one day for each year of Judah's sin. Meanwhile, keep staring at the siege of Jerusalem. Lie there with your arm bared and prophesy her destruction. I will tie you up with ropes so you won't be able to turn from side to side until the days of your siege have been completed. Now go and get some barley, some wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and emmer wheat, and mix them together in a storage jar. Use them to make bread for yourself during the 390 days you will be lying on your side. Ration this out to yourself, 8 ounces of food for each day, and eat it at set times. Then measure out a jar of water for each day and drink it at set times. Prepare and eat this food as you would barley cakes. While all the people are watching, bake it over a fire using dried human dung as fuel, and then eat the bread. Then the Lord said, this is how Israel will eat defiled bread in the Gentiles' hands, to which I will banish them. Then I said, O sovereign Lord, must I be defiled by using human dung? For I have never been defiled before. From the time I was a child until now, I have never eaten any animal that died of sickness or was killed by other animals. I have never eaten any meat forbidden by the law. All right, the Lord said, you may bake your bread with cow dung instead of human dung. Then he told me, son of man, I will make food very scarce in Jerusalem. It will be weighed out with great care and eaten fearfully. The water will be rationed out drop by drop, and the people will drink it with dismay. Lacking food and water, people will look at one another in terror, and they will waste away under their punishment. So God was telling Ezekiel to enact these things so that Israel will understand the sin that they and Judah had done. And God was serious. He was warning them that you're going to be taken captive. You're going to be seized. You're going to have famine and all kind of things that's going to come up against you. Why? Because you were not do what God required you to do. And so in chapter 5, it says, son of man, take a sharp sword and use it as a razor to shave your head and beard. Use a scale to weigh the hair in 3 equal parts. Place a third of it at the center of your map of Jerusalem. After acting out the siege, burn it there. Scatter another third across the map and chop it with a sword. Scatter the last third of us to the wind, for I was scattering my people with the sword. Keep just a bit of hair and tie it up in your robe. Then take some of these hairs out and throw them into the fire, burning them up. A fire would then spread from this remnant and destroy all of Israel. This is what the sovereign Lord says. An illustration what will happen to Jerusalem. I placed her at the center of the nations, but she has rebelled against my regulations and decrees and have been more wicked than the surrounding nations. She has refused to obey the regulations and decrees I gave her to follow. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You have behaved worse than your neighbors and have refused to obey my decrees and regulations. You have not even lived up to the standards of the nations around you. Therefore, I myself, the sovereign Lord, am now your enemy. I will punish you publicly while all the nations watch. Because of your detestable idols, I will punish you like I have never punished anyone or ever will again. Parents will eat their own children, and children will eat their parents. I will punish you and scatter to the winds the few who survive. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I will cut you off completely. I will show you no pity at all because you defiled my temple with your vile images and detestable sins. A third of your people will die in the city from disease and famine. A third of them will be slaughtered by the enemy outside the city. city walls, and I was scattered a third to the winds, chasing them with my sword. Then at last my anger will be spent, and I will be satisfied. And when my fury against them has subsided, all Israel will know that I, the Lord, have spoken to them in my jealous anger. So I will turn you into ruin, a mockery in the eyes of the surrounding nations and to all who pass by. You will become an object of mockery and taunting and horror. You will be a warning to all the nations around you. They will see what happens when the Lord punishes a nation in anger and rebuke it, says the Lord. I will show you with the deadly arrows of famine to destroy you. The famine will come more and more severe until every crumb of food is gone. And along with the famine, wild animals will attack you and rob you of your children. Disease and war will stalk your land, and I will bring the sword of the enemy against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. And this, you know, this is what God has said that he was going to do to Jerusalem and Judah. But this is also similar to what is in Revelation. And when about the four horsemen, and during this time, you know, God, he opens up the Lamb opens up the seals. And if we go to Revelation chapter 6, this is similar to what God is saying is going to take place in the end days, you know, when the four horsemen are released. And in Revelation chapter 6, it says the Lamb breaks the first seals. As I watched, the Lamb broke the first of seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living beings say with a loud thunder, with a loud voice like thunder, "Come." I looked and I saw a white horse standing there. His rider carried a bow, and a crown was placed on his head. He rode out to win many battles and gain victory. So this is talking about conquering nations. This is talking about nations going out to destroy and conquer. Then the Lamb broke open the second seal, and I saw the second living being say, "Come." Then another horse appeared, and a red one. Its rider was given a mighty sword and authority to take peace from the earth. And there was war and slaughter everywhere. Okay, so this second horse, the first one was a conqueror. The second one is going to create, to take peace away from the earth and cause all kind of war and violence. Then the Lamb broke the third seal, and I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked up and saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice from the four living beings say, "A loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley will cost a day's wages, and don't waste the olive and the oil." And this is saying that you're going to have to work a whole day in order to be able to buy just a loaf of bread, and don't waste anything. See, the wine and oil is valuable. Don't waste anything. When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the fourth living creature say, "Come, look," and saw a horse whose color was pale green, the rider named Death, and his companion was the grave. These two were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and famine and disease and wild animals. So this is similar to what was in Ezekiel's time, to say that there was going to be famine and death and the wild animals. Then the Lamb broke the fifth seal, and I saw the altar of souls who had been martyred for the word of God, for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us?" Then a white robe was put on them. It was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus, who had been martyr, had joined them. I watched as the Lamb broke open the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became dark as a black cloth, and the moon became red as blood. Then the sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all the mountains and islands were moved from their places. Then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, and every slave and free person, all hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive? We have some days that are coming ahead that's going to leave many people wondering, you know, where is God? And they if you're not in tune with God, then you're gonna be questioning why all these things happening. But Jesus warned us. He's given us His word. He's given us His sword. He let us know that everything that's taking place was gonna take place, and so we can't act as if we don't know that these things are going to happen. We have been given the warning. Well, we need to prepare in the spirit as well as in the natural in order to know the things that are going to be taking place on the face of this earth. And we need to be prepared. I know people have computers and laptops and iPhones, but you know what? You need the physical world. You need to, first of all, have it in your heart and have it in your mind and have it in your soul. You need to have some actual Bibles, because there's going to come a day you might not have access to the computer. You need to have some spiritual materials, some spiritual books to help you on your Christian journey. You need to have, these are things that you need to have, and just in case you're not able to turn on the computer to read the Bible. Well, have your physical word. We still need that good old Bible that you carry with you, and spiritual material. Get out of the TV and read the Bible and learn of God and spend some time in God's word. These days that's coming are going to be very, very trying times, and you need to be prepared. If you have not accepted Jesus into your heart today, I ask that you would say this prayer with me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. I accept Jesus into my heart today. Fill me, cleanse me, make me anew. I repent of all my sins. Have mercy on me. I accept you as the Son of the living God. And if you have said that prayer, then welcome to the body of Christ. God loves you. He cares for you. He sent His Son down here to die for you. And all you have to do is accept Him. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, none of us is worthy. We're all like, our righteousness is like filthy rags. But God, He died for us so that we may have a right to the tree of life. And all we have to do is accept Him as the Son of God, repent, be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God bless you. We will be back on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific, for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. Because one day God is going to say it is finished and He is coming back to take His children home. God be with you until next time.
Yet in my heart, the battle was raging.